Hi, my name is Danielle, and you're listening to Crime and Mystery Canada. On this podcast, we discuss subjects that might be creepy to some, and sometimes even frightening. Some of our episodes will deal with serious subject matter, while others will be more lighthearted. Please keep in mind that I am not an expert on any of the topics I cover, just an interested party, and as always, listener discretion is advised. Hi everyone and welcome back. I'm Danielle.
I'm Polybill.
And you're listening to Crime and Mystery Canada. We're going to be talking about the book Bodies in the Backyard. It's written by Brian O'Neill and it's covering the case of, I guess he would have been a serial killer.
I guess so.
Based on the number of people he killed, Noel Michael Winters. Just as a brief overview, Noel Winters lived in the area of St. John, New Brunswick. So he wasn't in St. John proper, but that general area. So most of the events that took place in this book are happening during the early 80s. Noel Winters, as well as some people that maybe didn't participate directly in the murders, but were involved afterwards, they ended up killing and disposing of four different bodies through the process. So we're going to get into more detail a little bit as we go through it. But just before we get into that detail, overall, what did you think of the book?
Well, the book brought back a lot of memories. And I didn't know the backstory, the pre-serial killer Noel Winters. And I lived in that area when all of this was going on. And it was in Crystal Beach, where he lived. And basically, he was just a punk that seemed to get away with all kinds of stuff and just grew braver and braver. And at the time of the first two murders, the people that were involved in the cover-up and trying to get him to cover up the crime, I think were scared of him and just did it out of fear, and they didn't want to be a victim. So the book was well written, and it brought back a lot of memories.
Yeah, so I thought the book was very fact heavy. It reads a little bit like a story, but it's a lot of facts being brought to you. But it was a really quick read, and you can tell that Brian O'Neill really did his research. Like, he must have had access to court transcripts and things like that, to trial transcripts and things like that, because there's a lot of information in the book. When the book begins, it's February 11th at Noel's house, which he's renovating with his girlfriend, Mary Beth. And one of his friends comes over to help him with the renovations, and he actually brings his father with him. And what seems to happen is they're doing more drinking than renovating. From my understanding in the book, when Noel drank, especially hard liquor, he became a completely different person.
Yeah, the comments that they referred to in the book was he'd actually get to a point when he'd get upset and he had been drinking hard liquor, he'd be drooling like a rabid dog.
Yes, he'd get so angry he was like drooling and had zero control. Now, I'm not saying that this is an excuse for any of his behavior at all. I'm not an expert in this, but just based on what I know and reading that book, I feel like he was probably a sociopath.
I think so.
Because a lot of people who knew him outside of his drinking said he was very charismatic and charming. But he was one of those people that I think was in trouble his whole life, was always looking for a quick, easy way to make money and didn't really care what kind of laws he had to break to make that money.
And again, I think that the crimes were petty enough that they let him get away with them for a long time, because probably the police had bigger fish to fry at that time, but he just got braver and braver.
Yeah, so in the beginning of the book, and this happens pretty early on, he's drinking, his girlfriend is there, but she's kind of outside of what's going on, not really participating in it. And So it's a bit confusing because the two people that are there are called Jimmy and Jimmy, and then there's another guy called Jimmy in the story, which is one of his accomplices. But without getting into too much of detail with that, so the two men, father and son, are there. The father gets completely obliterated drunk, has no control of himself. I don't think he was even aware of what was going on around him. And the younger Jimmy is also drinking, but more in control of his faculties. And at one point, and I'd have to go back to read because I don't really even understand exactly what happened. It sounds like Noel got mad about something he thought had happened that didn't actually happen.
I think he got mad because of something that James or Jim Senior had Noel thought he had said or misunderstood something, and that started the whole craziness that happened.
So he starts getting angry at the senior Jimmy, and the younger Jimmy kind of takes offense and tells him to calm down and lay off his father, and that his father is just drunk. And he basically starts threatening the younger Jimmy, and like to the point of violence, where Jimmy's telling him, like, we're like family, what are you doing? Like, don't hurt me. And is trying to get away from him. And Noel's getting angrier and angrier. And at one point, grabs a hammer that he's saying that Jimmy's trying to hit him with. But when you're reading the story, it doesn't sound like Jimmy was trying to do anything with that hammer at all. He was just trying to calm Noel down. Without getting in all of the gory detail, he ends up killing the younger Jimmy. And his girlfriend at that point is very upset. She's actually brought him the gun that he used to kill the younger Jimmy. And he then says, Noel says, now I have to kill Jimmy Sr. because he's seen what happened.
Right. And Jimmy Senior is passed out drunk, has no clue what has happened.
No clue. So Noel drags him across the floor, kind of props him up, points a gun essentially between his eyes and pulls the trigger.
A shotgun.
A shotgun, yeah. So it's a horrific crime. I think had they not been drinking, this would not have happened. And not only did he kill one of his best friends, but he also killed a man who wasn't even doing anything, was just, again, it was almost like a vulnerable person because he could not control himself, do anything. He was passed out and like was basically unconscious when he was dragged across the floor and shot.
Yeah, he was no danger at all to Noel.
No. And he probably wouldn't even remember, like, had they dragged him back to his house, he probably would have no recollection of what had happened that night. But I guess in Noel's mind, he was eliminating witnesses. What really struck me was the aftermath of what happened here. So, what happened in the aftermath is Noel didn't seem to think he needed to hide the fact that he had killed these two men from any of his acquaintances.
He actually reached out to most of them to help cover it up.
Right, so he wanted some help disposing of the bodies. Noel decided to call his friend Paul Hines to come help him cover up the crimes and get rid of the bodies. But he would openly tell people he knew what he'd done. And like bring them over to the house and say, look around, can you see anything? Like, do you see any signs of what happened here? So it's not like one person knew what happened. Many people were aware of what he had done.
Right. He had them looking for bullet holes in the walls and patching them up and ripping up floors and
So one of his friends comes over, Paul Hines, and actually helps him dismember the bodies. His girlfriend is quite, she's an unwilling participant. She hands him the gun that he uses to kill Jimmy, and she's driving him around while he's going to get supplies, getting his friends. She helps him clean up the crime scene. She doesn't participate in the dismembering of the body, but she does drive over to the dump with him. So she's very much a participant in this.
But I think knowing what we know about Noel Winters now, I don't think she had a choice. I think there was a fear And she knew what he would be like if she didn't agree to help him.
Right, and I kind of flip-flopped on that a little bit, because at first, when he asks to bring the guns and she does it, and then, again, she's driving him around, I was thinking, like, I know she didn't want this to happen, but she's still very much involved. But what ends up happening, so Noel's got like half a dozen people that are quite aware that he's dismembered the body, he's killed the two Jimmies, they've disposed of those bodies at the dump, and those bodies get found very quickly.
That's one of the parts that disturbed me, is that two young boys that are rooting around the dump looking for scrap metal actually find the heads in garbage bags. And I found that really disturbing.
And we're talking 84, so these two young kids, I mean, they're teenagers, but they're still kids, are basically discovering this grisly murder. They're uncovering it. And there's no cell phones. They have to run off to get help. But at the same time, so for those of us who are old enough to remember this, they used to set fire to dumps to get rid of garbage. So the fire's already been set for that week and is basically going through the dump. So they're also having to pull out the parts they can find to keep them away from the fire. So it just makes a grisly scene just even so much worse. The bodies are discovered almost immediately. One of them is identified very quickly. So Jimmy Jr., they pretty much know who he is, but the senior they can't tell because he's got taken a shot from a shotgun to the face. There's no facial features there, and but they can't find all of the body parts because some of them have been destroyed by the fire at the dump. So they don't know who the second victim is right away. Noel is again not trying to lay low at the time. He's not trying to pretend he didn't do it. I mean, he didn't go to the authorities and tell them, but again, he was telling pretty much everyone that he knew, involving them in it.
Yeah, he was broadcasting it throughout his own circle of friends. And again, I think the people that knew him were afraid enough that they didn't go to the law either.
Right, and when you think about how this murder happened, it was just like snap of a finger and he lost it. So I can actually see, and that's where I kind of flip-flopped on Mary Beth, because at first I felt like she was very much a participant, but then when you think about his reaction to a perceived slight, I can understand how she would have been terrified. And they do make mention of him being physically violent towards her as well.
She did what he asked because she had past experience on what would happen to her if she refused. So.
Right. Oliver Hullett, who was one of the many people Noel told about the crimes, actually called Mary Beth at work and convinced her that she should go to the police and tell them what happened. I suspect she was a bit in shock for the first couple days after this happened, because after she gets that call from her friend, that's exactly what she does. She does go to the police and tell them what happened.
She would have been in shock, especially if this is, we have no way of knowing, but if it's the first time that she's seen him commit a murder, then it's a big escalation from all the other petty crimes that he was committing.
Right. I mean, he was involved with the drug trade. He was involved with all kinds of, like you said, petty things. Obviously, he was known to have a temper. He would get into fights all the time. But I mean, there's definitely a difference between a fight and a murder. It doesn't take long for both Noel and Paul Hines to get arrested. So Hines was the main person who helped him dismember the bodies and get rid of them. So he's arrested as well. And there's a fair bit of evidence pointing towards Noel. So as we're going into trial, it's not really a big shock as to what will happen, if he will be found guilty or innocent. Like, you kind of know where the wind is blowing on that one. and enough people knew about it, he thought that they would be loyal to him to a fault right to the end. And he was very much in shock to find out that his so-called friends turned on him and were giving evidence against him, including his girlfriend.
I think once the fear of Noel, once the friends knew that he was in police custody, and I don't think he had as much influence as he thought he did, the so-called friends felt safe enough to testify or to talk about what they knew.
Yeah, I think what he thought was loyalty was just fear.
Right.
During the court proceedings, he doesn't behave. There's several occasions where he loses it in the courtroom and screams and yells at people, thinking that he's in charge, basically. I think at one point they gag him, like literally, they say, "We're going to
Yeah.
put the gag on you," and he's like, "Go for it."
Even his lawyer
Yeah.
regrets getting involved.
And he does so very, like, I think he defended him because he has a duty to do so. But he basically told Noel, like, "You need to take a plea deal. This is the only chance you have. Right now, you're charged with first degree murder. We can possibly bargain that down to second degree, and you'll have the possibility of parole at some point in your life." So that's what they do. There's a plea deal, so there's no extended long trial. It's just a deal with the judge. So he gets 25 years, which is standard, and he has to do an extended period of time before he can apply for
I
parole.
think that I think the earliest he can apply is 16 or 18 years.
Yeah, it was a long amount of time. But this is when we learn that this is not all over, because the police are still digging up Noel Winter's yard. Because it comes to light that there's two other people that have been missing for a while, and it's believed that Noel might be guilty of killing them as well.
And the police get this information just by accident, really, because at one point there was a store close by, and the lady at the store said, "Oh, there was a couple up there that were supposed to be there for X number of weeks, and they came by, and we never saw them again."
Right, and what happens is, like, halfway through the book or three quarters of the way, they basically flash back to what led this couple to Noel Winters, which is a little bit convoluted in and of itself. The long and the short of it is these two people were associated with the Hells Angels in Montreal, and one of Noel's friends used to go to Montreal to get drugs from the Hells Angels, bring the drugs back to St. John, and sell them. So his friend goes by, it's either Giggy or Jiggy, but we're gonna call him Giggy because I think the G is hard. So we're gonna go with that. His friend Giggy heads to Montreal. He's waiting for some drugs. And while he's waiting, he's with the girlfriend of a very important person in the Hells Angels. And basically, there's this long part in the book where they're talking about how none of them actually like this guy. Like, none of them like Giggy. He's an annoyance. They sell him drugs because he pays the money for it, but, like, they don't want anything to do with him. So he's in a hotel room with her, and he basically tries to put the moves on her, and she doesn't want anything to do with him. And he ends up punching her and then sexually assaulting her. And then he runs away. I don't know what he thought would happen to him, because I don't know if he knew he was a dead man at that point.
I'm not sure what he was thinking, but he signed his death warrant then and there.
So he heads back to St. John, and he has, so the drugs that he did have, he ended up selling. So he goes back to St. John with, like, a roll of, like, I think it's $6,000 in his pocket, goes to find another friend and tells him, "Let's go partying." They don't really get the chance to party, though, because they're going over to another friend's house, and turns out there's a bunch of people there from Montreal. I don't know if they were specifically there to kill him, or they just so happened to see him and be like, "Oh, hey, he's the guy who did this." They kill him. And his body still has not been found to this day. So we know the Hells Angels were participants in his murder, but what happened to him is still kind of a mystery. Back in Montreal, there's this man named Jack McLaughlin and his girlfriend, who's Maria Hildebrand. It's believed that Jack McLaughlin was involved in Gingy's death, and they have to kind of hide out in St. John. The reason Jack and Maria left Montreal was because there was a warrant out for Jack's arrest for another murder he had committed there, and they decided to go to St. John and lay low. So they had met Noel Winters at some point. So they head over to St. John, New Brunswick, and they ask Noel if they can stay in one of his cottages. So what ends up happening is that they were affiliated to the Hells Angels group that had killed Gigi, and Noel knows this. So one night he ends up killing Jack and then going over to the cottage, dragging Maria out of bed and killing her as well. And it's a little bit of the same situation where more than one person knows he's done this. He again involves friends in helping him hide the bodies. And he hides them not on his property, but a little ways out. He actually ended up killing her dog as well. And in the book, they say that's like the one time he was actually showing remorse, like that he felt bad that he had to kill the dog.
Yeah, he felt worse about killing the dog than killing the people.
The police are searching the property and then kind of get wind that the bodies are not on the property. They're a bit further out. So they start excavating back there and find the dog. So they know they're close and they end up finding the two bodies. At this point, Noel's in jail. And when he finds out that they found the two other bodies, he decides that he's done. He wants out. And he ends up hanging himself.
So at the time that they find the other two bodies, he's already been convicted and sentenced for the first two murders.
Correct. Yeah, so he ends up not... And he told people in the past, because he'd gone to jail before, and he told them if he ended up in the federal penitentiary, which means a sentence of 2 years plus, he would kill himself because he wasn't good at serving time. I think a lot of it, too, was that he thought he was a big man, and as soon as he got into prison, he realized that how he made other people afraid on the outside, he was probably feeling when he was on the inside. So he just basically decides to kill himself. He ended up killing four people that we know of, along with all the petty crime, but he ended up serving basically no time for any of it because he died by suicide before that.
Yeah, he had only been there a short while when they discovered the other two bodies.
Yeah. It's a little crazy to me when I was reading this book. I know New Brunswick has its... Well, I guess the first thing that comes to mind when I think about spree killers or serial killers in New Brunswick is Alan Legere. So I know we're not immune to that kind of thing, but it's just so crazy to me that there was someone on the loose that was capable of doing these things. And then he'd gotten away with killing two people for a while, despite people knowing about it. And I think that's what really struck me about this, because we often talk about cold cases and how there has to be someone out there that knows something. And I know these cases didn't really have time to, or these murders didn't really have time to get cold, but it's just that situation where there were many people who were aware of what happened.
Right, and in a lot of the cold cases, there has to be at least one other person that has some information.
Right, and I feel like that's the thing. Someone saw something or heard something, or, I mean, it's not the first case where we talk about that either. We talked about Helen Betty Osborne. I mean, this was several episodes back, but that was the same thing where pretty much everyone in town more or less knew what had happened to her, but no one was arrested for it.
Right. So, Noel Winters, I lived in St. John at the time, and it was a really tense time in the city.
While he was being convicted?
No, when the bodies, the first body parts were found and it hit the media. But early on, even before Noel was arrested, the buzz in the area was that Noel Winters was responsible for it.
Right.
People already had an inkling that where at the dump where the body parts were found and in Crystal Beach where he lived, people quickly made the connection.
Right.
And it was a real tense time. And they talk about his arrest in the book, and the police were quite smart with the way they did it, because St. John is not a huge city compared to other places in Canada, but at that time was the biggest city in New Brunswick. And that's where the reversing falls are. And they tailed him and basically blocked him on the bridge. He had nowhere to go.
Yeah.
They blocked off police vehicles one end of the bridge, and once he got on the bridge, they blocked off the other end. And they were expecting a shootout or some sort of behavior from him that they'd have to deal with. And being the coward that he was, he just gave up.
And he was, we didn't mention that, but he said he was planning a shootout. He like that's how he wanted to go down. Like once they discovered the bodies and he realized he was going to get caught, he said he basically wanted to die in a blaze of glory, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and one of the things also we didn't mention is that he didn't hide out. He kept going to the places he had been going all along, and yakking about it, and meeting the people that he had convinced to help him, and going to the gym
To
and
the
making
bar,
phone
yeah.
calls. And it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I know St. John was a really tense city at that time, and people were relieved when he was finally arrested. And then it stirred up again when they found the other bodies. He had made a lot of enemies. There was a lot of people that were afraid of him. I also think that a lot of people were relieved because I think he had information on a whole bunch of other little stuff that he could have gotten people in trouble for. Just to be vindictive.
Very possibly. If he was so open with people about something so enormous, it very well might be that other people had been open about smaller things as well.
I'm happy to report that I was never involved with that criminal side of people in St. John. But I do remember at the time co-workers that had grown up there. And there's probably 10 other names that came up that were acquaintances of Noel Winters and had lightly been involved in one way or another, but never were brought to trial for it.
Right.
It was a difficult time for the city.
We're going to finish up tonight with a moment of kindness. I know that myself and many others have gotten their vaccination for COVID or are in the process of getting it done. I just recently got my first dose of vaccine last week. And I do want to take a minute for us to think about all of the people who came together to make this happen. Everyone who's working really hard to try and help with the COVID situation. I think most of us have probably gotten a COVID test or gotten our vaccination. There's people helping out at the hospitals. There's people volunteering their time. There's people putting themselves at risk every day. A lot of people have been involved in keeping the world running and trying to eradicate COVID-19 or immunize people to make them safe. So I think we should all take a minute to thank them for their time, thank them for the risk that they're taking, and for everything that they've done. So that's all for tonight. Next week, I won't be putting out a regular episode. I might have something, just a short little something out there, but not a regular episode. I'm going to take a week off. I have a few things I need to work on. Look for something in your feed, but don't expect a regular episode. We'll be back the following week. Thanks to everyone who's been listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find us on Facebook at Crime and Mystery Canada. We are on Instagram as well under the same name. I hope everyone stays safe out there and have a good night.
Good night, everybody.